You're listening to the Trinity Podcast. We are a multi-site church in the Chicago area whose mission is to help you look, live, and love more like Jesus.
Our reading for this weekend comes from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16, Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 4, 7 through 8, translation NIV. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms of every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, hey, good morning, Trinity Church, family, friends, and guests. It's so great to be with you today. It's Sunday. You made it. You made it to church. You're here. You look lovely. I'm excited to start the week with you in this way as well. If I haven't been able to say yes or say hello to you yet, I'd love to be able to do that. After service, I'll be hanging out at the small group table. And so I'd love to help you get connected and tell you more about the offerings that we have at Trinity for you in that way. So we are continuing on our series today, and we're calling the series Searching, What We're Seeking When We Scroll. And today we're going to be looking at the topic of like and subscribe, right? The infamous thumbs up and the hearts and all the things that whenever you post something, and if you post something really, really awesome, then the whole repost of whatever it is, the picture or the thing that you wrote that like changed someone else's life, and then they go and they repost it themselves. My kiddos, my younger ones think that they have created a YouTube channel, which they have not really done. But after recording videos, the girls go like and subscribe. And I don't know where they got that from, but it is what it is. In today's scripture reading, thank you to my lovely wife, Jackie, for reading God's word over us this morning. But you'll remember in this reading that we had that one of the readings is from Paul, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus. And what he's telling the church here is that God has lavished us with his glorious forgiveness, his grace-filled forgiveness. Paul shares about how this kind of sort of lavishment, if you will, has been with us since before the creation of the world, that God has chosen us to be in him, and he's chosen to lavish us with his forgiveness and all that comes with being a child of God. I mean, to be lavish, isn't that something that every human being, isn't that something that we all desire? And perhaps lavish is too hoity-toity of a word that we don't normally use in our everyday vernacular and things like that. But we got to understand that in the Greek, the word lavish is perissos. And what that means is it means to superabound, to exceed, to overflow. And don't we all seek to be overflowed, to be lavished with love and acceptance, for someone to be so in love with us, for us to be so in love with someone else that our entire heart's desire is to lavish each other with gifts and flowers and scotch and time, right? Just time together. Don't we all desire to be lavished? This has been the desire of humanity since forever. And what it's done is it's aided in the world now being over 7 billion people and counting. We just keep making babies. See, the desire for lavishment, it's made way for high-end brands that we hear of and the falsity of rare diamonds, right? To be lavished with diamonds and Louis Vuitton and Tarjay and Hermes and all these things. What I'm getting at here is we all desire to be lavished because lavishment is something that we get in its purest form from God, the Creator. And whatever gifts and affections that God has toward humanity, they end up getting thwarted and bootlegged from the world. See, the world releases to humanity bad generics of true gifts and affections that come from God. What the world offers us is a feeling of lavishment, but the problem is that it only lasts for a moment, leaving us in this sort of empty pursuit. And most often it is through the things that we normally already have in our hands. It's made way through our phones. Did you actually know that we're starting to get these indentions on our pinky? Because we use our pinky as a sort of kickstand for our phone, that we're all actually starting to get that indention right there. Isn't that wild? Just ping, ping, ping. We get lavished with push notifications on our phone every time someone likes a post or sends us a message. We post a picture of our perfect life and we get these likes and the pings come in. And the more likes that we get, the more we feel lavished with love and acceptance. And then when all of that goes away, then we just make another post and another post and another post so that we can feed the high that we want. You see, when we chase the counterfeit things of God, we're chasing dead things. It's basically dead on arrival. But when we choose the true things of God, when that is our heart's desire, to be lavished by our Heavenly Father, to be adored by Him and to adore Him, then that is eternal. So friends, this morning, we're inviting you to understand the trap that we all fall into and to hear the invitation from our good, good Father. And in that invitation is where we're going to find the freedom that only He provides in fullness, in eternal fullness. So we're going to understand the trap. We're going to hear this invitation from our good, good Father, and we're going to find our freedom in that invitation. But before we move any further, would you join me in prayer? Would we pray together? Father God, we thank You for Your goodness. Dear Holy Spirit, thank You that You are in this room right now, Your great power, whatever it is we have need of, thank You that You are the great I Am. I pray that, Lord, that whatever I say, only Your word of truth would fall deep within our heart, soul, and mind and move us to action for Your glory. And Father, would You forgive me of my sins? Because You know that they are so many. But thank You that You're so faithful and just to forgive us of our sins every time we come to Your throne of grace. Thank You that that's true for me and for all of us gathered. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, American royalty, the great Lady Gaga, once said, I live for the applause, applause, applause. I live for the applause. You know what I'm talking about. So What an exhausting life that has to be. To live for the approval and the applause of others, and in her case, tens of millions of people, when our worth is dependent on what others think of me, not just the work and the job that I do, but when I put my entire worth and identity is circled in and wrapped in the likes and the applause of others, like how anxious would our life then be? As I mentioned just earlier, again, it is our human nature to desire the approval of others, to be valued by other people and someone else, and that's okay. But at the same time, if we leave that unchecked, then this natural human desire that we all have can start to entrap us. And so we just read that Paul, he's asking the church in Galatia, he's talking to them about this here. And in his writing in Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 10, this is what he's telling the church. He's saying, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And herein lies the trap that we can all fall into, and we have at some times. It's the trap of trying to win the approval of mere fellow humans. Are we trying to do that, or are we trying to get the approval of God, our Father? It's in our inherent desire that we have to be applauded by God. It's inherent for us. And so is what we seek in other forms, this is what we seek in unnatural ways, this approval. And one of the ways is by us seeking and receiving the applause of others while we're on the stage with the spotlight on us. You see, studies have shown that when we receive applause, when folks applaud us, it actually starts to trigger within us that reward and validation endorphin. It's known as the feel-good hormone. And these endorphins, they're just kind of a natural high. And what it does is it actually increases our mood. It makes us more positive. It reduces stress and anxiety. When we get that applause, whenever we get those likes on our posts and things like that, it's natural for us to crave that high again and more. We're chasing the applause, and what a chase it is, right? Because these days, our attention spans are so short because we just flip and flip and flip from one story to the next, and then we like that one, and then we go on to the next, and then 3 hours later, we've been stuck on TikTok for 3 hours, not even knowing how we got there. I mean, it's just on to the next thing, right? Jimmy Kimmel's here one night, gone the next, and then we all just kind of move on as a society. Social media, it's made a way for us to be on stage with the spotlight on us. And as we get that applause, the dopamine sets in. And when we don't get those likes, when we don't get that applause, when people just skip through our stories, which we can now see on Instagram, we're crushed. These same studies tell us that teens, they start to feel actual distress. Adults, it increases our level of anxiety. You see, the more we seek after the applause and the likes, the less we actually start to like ourselves. But in the spiral, in the middle of that spiral, throughout all the mess and distress, the anxiety and exhaustion, our Creator steps right in and He invites us to rest. We're invited to rest in Him and find our worth in Him. Earlier, we read a portion of a song that King David wrote. And we got to understand that King David, I mean, this man had everything. If you looked at him, even just through carnal lenses, through the kind of just the world's standards, King David was very fit and attractive. The ladies wanted him. The men wanted to be him. He was dearly loved by his subjects. He was rich and powerful. He was a warrior. But most importantly for him, he knew what God said about him was true, that he is a man after God's own heart. You see, King David knew that his identity wasn't in his wealth. It wasn't in his popularity or his good looks or how much people liked him. No. He knew that his worth was in God the Father. And so he writes this beautiful song in Psalm 139. And here's what he writes about God. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." He says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I mean, do we catch the weight of what King David is saying here about how God sees us? Like, how outrageous is it that the God of the universe, I mean, there's life on Mars, great, he's the God of that too. The God of the universe, this magnificent creator, before he created, he adored you. And look, I kind of get it. Because when Jackie and I saw Vera like a little tadpole swimming in her mother's womb, we were obsessed with that little alien-looking thing. I mean, we were already obsessed with her. But even before that, the God of the universe was wild about you. And maybe you're sitting back there and you're still trying to figure out where you stand with God. You got to hear this, that even before you believe in him, he has already loved you. I mean, who could say no to a love like that? And for us who believe, for us too, like even in our secret places, for all the skeletons that we have in our closet, the quiet places of our heart, soul, and mind, for all the mess and for all the whatever, God our Father, he looks at us with affection. And if he sees you through the bloodshed of his only begotten son, he sees you as blameless and pure and holy and righteous. I mean, the purest and most perfect form of his creation. I mean, wow. He loves us that much. In Romans chapter 8, listen to what it says here. He says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." One Greek translation of interceding could be intervening, that Jesus, he's intervening for us. Jesus, he's cheering us on. He's lifting us up. He is the applause of God. And he lavishes his love and forgiveness upon us. Wow. Paul, when he was writing that letter to the church at Ephesus, where he talks about lavishing us in that first chapter, he continues to talk about how we were chosen since before the foundation of the world as God's adopted children, redeemed by the blood of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you got to listen to this. This means that our identity, it's not something that you build. You're not building your own identities here. It's something that we receive from God. Our identity isn't something we're building. It's something that we receive from God. The Creator has given us our identity, and that identity is as a child of God, redeemed by Christ's blood and sealed by the Holy Spirit, no matter what, no matter what. And friends, when we realize this truth, when we exercise this truth out in our lives, and when we actually believe it, then that's freedom. That's the freedom right there in the promise. Freedom to live this abundant life that Jesus calls us to live with him. And so, yeah, Lady Gaga, you're right. I do live for the applause, but I live for the applause of God. And the good news about that is that he's already been lavishing us with his applause since before we were formed in our mother's womb. You see, the freedom is that there's no persona, there's no act, there's no behavior, there's no thing that we can do to make him applaud us because he already is. And so we get to stop seeking and craving the applause of others. We get to stop all that and just be who we are. I am who I am, and who I am is a child of God. And if that feels strange to hear, that's okay. Sometimes we got to let the truth of God kind of sink in before we can speak it out ourselves. But I feel so free when I say that because it affirms who I am, and who I am is a child of God. And so maybe I'm an introvert and I'm kind of geeky. Well, great. God loves that about you. Or maybe I'm loud and kind of obnoxious and an extrovert. Well, great. That's what God loves about you. You see, I am who I am, and who I am is a child of God. So friends, I wonder if you could just say that with me out loud. Just say it whenever you would like. Let's say it a few times. I am who I am, and who I am is a child of God. I am who I am, and who I am is a child of God. That's what freedom feels like. That's freeing. And so now we get to step off the stage and give all glory to God, the Father, who we applaud. And as we applaud him, he applauds us back. This is why I love Erica's song so much, in that portion of the lyric where it says, "You sing over us the anthem of your love, and we respond." We sing it back to you. You see, it's cyclical here. We applaud him. He applauds us. As he is forever on his throne, he's forever on the universal stage. See, our freedom is that our identity is found in him. Our worth is found in him. And him alone. The scripture readings that we had this morning, they affirm this truth together. Together they tell us the truth that you are already known. You are already chosen. You are already loved. You're applauded and you're liked by the God of the universe, our Savior, Jesus, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so now we get to take our mask off. Did you know that that's actually what hypocrite means in the biblical terms? We get it wrong today, kind of in the 21st century. We think a hypocrite is someone who says something and does the other thing. That's also not good, but that's not really what it means here. No, a hypocrite was someone who wore a mask. A hypocrite was an actor. Someone portraying someone else, someone who they are not. See, we get to quit being hypocrites. We get to quit being stage actors and social media actors because no matter what, we are already loved. We're already forgiven. We're already saved and set free, and we are lavished with it. You know, there is no thing that anyone or nothing can ever do to make God like us less, to make God quit applauding us. And praise God for that. Hallelujah for that. May all the redeemed of the Lord say so. All the redeemed of the Lord. What a gift. And so today, friends, would we let God and his love define us today? Would we start living as someone who's free from the applause of others, free from all their likes? Because the God of the universe has already liked you and loved you and applauded you since even before you were a thought. So friends, let's step in, let's walk in, let's live in his freedom today. It's here right now for the taking. And as we all move together into a time of communing with Christ as the believing body, if you're ready to take the next step in belief, would you tell somebody? Would you come to the table of the Lord and receive his applause, his body and his blood, his nourishment? Would you tell someone that you've come to Christ or that you've come back to Christ? And let us rejoice with you. Let us rejoice with you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful truth of how much our God, our Creator, our Savior loves us. Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, thank you that you've never left us and you've never forsaken us. And for all the things in this world that make way toward anxiety and depression and distress and sadness, thank you that your healing power is able to break through all of that. That even in the chaos, we can feel and experience and live in the peace of you that passes all understanding. And so God, I pray that in this series, as we're talking about the things in this world that pull us away from our identity that's found in you, would we be reminded that you are present and you are here and you're constant and you love us so much? God, would you help us to love you back in the same way and to love others well? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Trinity Podcast. We hope this week's message encouraged you to consider the claims of Jesus in a new way, and we would love to have you join us for worship on the weekend. To find a location near you, visit www.tlc4u.org.